Hi everyone, Jess here. Welcome to the January call, our first call of 2016. Thank you for visiting with us today if you're listening live or listening later. Also, thank you for listening. If you're listening live, please do head on over to the Facebook group. We have a little chat thread going on there, so you can ask any questions or give your opinion on what we're talking about in the call tonight. We have one lovely lady who has decided to join us and have me talk to her about her business tonight, and that is Fiona. Hello, Fiona.
Hello, Fiona. Going on there, so you can ask any questions or give
we got a bit of echo going on there. Fiona, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
I can.
Love it. I've worked it out. That's good.
I was going to say, did you have headphones? But I think you've gotten that sorted now.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you for joining me tonight on the call.
No, thank
for
you.
For being brave enough to come on the call. I know it can be a bit nerve-wracking knowing, like, you know, 400 people might listen in to us at some stage, but trust me, it's all right. Anybody listening, if you haven't put yourself forward for a call, do it because it's fun. It's not stressful, I promise. It's all good. We're amongst friends, and that's the most important thing. So, Fiona, tonight we're going to spend about half an hour chatting about your business, Magpies and Mud Puddles. Adorable name, by the way.
Thank you.
And before we start, are you happy for me to share what you wrote in your questionnaire with everybody?
Absolutely, yes.
Excellent. Well, before we kick off and do a little bit of analysis, could you just introduce yourself and your business for those who don't know you yet?
Okay, so my business is Magpies and Mud Puddles. I'm a handmade business of children's clothing and hats. I aim towards being sun safe, so they have, you know, they're not strapless. They have sleeves and, yeah, broad-brimmed hats and, yeah, that sort of, I aim sort of more towards the older girls up to age 10, but obviously make from newborn to 10 as well.
Okay, cool. So how long have you been doing this?
Been dabbling in it for about 5 years now, but it's only probably been in the last 6 to 8 months that I've actually sort of stepped up and gone, okay, well, I've taken it from a hobby to a business.
Mm-hmm. And how has that changed your approach with what you're doing every day sort of thing?
I now sit down and plan things, or try to plan things rather than fly by in my pants, which is what I had been doing.
Yep.
It's been a big learning curve this year. I've sort of gone from, you know, it's not a matter of just sitting down and making stuff and going, okay, well, now I'm going to sell it. It's really, I've got to learn the business behind it as well, rather than just being the maker.
Yes, definitely. That is a very important change. Now, let's start on your questionnaire. Let's have a look at your goals. Now, are you doing the Handmade Business Boot Camp with us at the moment?
Yes.
has that influenced this at all?
It has, yes. I've sort of sat down and made this year a big year to sort of to plan things more, and last year I found very much so that there was a lot more. It was interrupting family time, I suppose. So I just want to get that balance a bit better, and
kind of make sure that you're working smart, not hard, working on the things that you really need to be working on rather than just faffing around as we all want to do sometimes when we haven't got a plan. I know that feeling. I think we've all been there when you go, what am I going to do today? I don't know. Let's figure it out as we go. Okay, so let's have a look at your goals or your priorities. So you've got three here. One is to re-photograph all your stock. The second one is to maintain your social media schedule, for example, Facebook and Instagram, and plan daily. Post daily. You've got plan and stick to. That's an important part. A weekly schedule, and make $500 in sales over the next 6 months. All right. So let's have a little chat about those things. So, and I know you put down photography as your number one thing you're struggling with too. So let's talk a little bit about that. Share your thoughts on that with me. What are you wanting to change with your photography?
I suppose I wanted to get away a little bit from just the white background that a lot of people use. But I found What I did, I went to an old house that's on our farm. We live on a farm, and took it against this beautiful weatherboard. But the biggest thing was the weatherboard, when it came up in the photos, it didn't make, because it's a bit duller, I suppose, it doesn't make the photos pop.
Right.
And I just found them a little bit drab, and yeah, I just didn't know how to still photograph them. So they're sort of that rural look, which is what I was after, but still getting the colours to pop.
So on your, I'm just looking at your main website now, your main image is the three girls with the wooden background happening there.
Yes, and that's the sort of look I was going for.
Right. So, but in your actual shop photos, a lot of them it's against kind of a white panel background? Or did I only...
That would probably just be how they've been edited.
Okay, cool. So, because, I mean, the first thing I thought when I looked at that particular main photo was that it looked really good because you've got, like, the colours look quite bright, and the background definitely has that sort of, you know, rural rustic feel to it, and it's not, you know, super boring.
Yep.
And I'm just looking now in your dresses section, so you've got some that have just like the paddock as the background.
Yeah.
And you've got some that have the board as the back. Is that the same board? The same weatherboard?
So it's similar. It's just more, it was taken in the shade actually, because where those weatherboards are, yep. When I went to take the photo, it's a lot of long grass and I was worried about snakes.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And also the main photo with the three girls, that's actually taken by a professional photographer right. as well.
So, yeah, it's amazing what a camera and editing will do with a photo. Because
yes.
I think that background is fantastic because it's unique, but it's also, it's plain enough that it doesn't, I don't think, distract from the items. Like in that
yep.
professional photograph, they definitely pop against it.
Yes.
What sort of camera are you using?
I've got a Nikon camera.
Okay. So it's a proper DSLR.
Yeah.
So you can kind of play around with your IO settings and all
yes.
that sort of
yep.
business, which involves learning a bit about the cameras, which can be a bit daunting. I understand that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I see what you mean when I look at the photos with the weatherable background. One, that it's kind of like it's dirty almost, which doesn't
yeah.
show up in that, it doesn't really come out in that other photo. They look fine, like just rustic.
Yep.
But also that, yeah, and they look a little bit washed out, I guess. Like
yeah.
you said, the
yeah.
colours don't really pop. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's probably a good thing to do. Like, they're not terrible photos, you know, at all. You know, they're all, you've got them all, at least they're all kind of, you know, they're all framed similarly. They all kind of match each other. It's not a hodgepodge of completely different backgrounds, which is a win.
Yep.
But, yeah, I definitely think... I'm trying to, like... And if anybody is listening live and you have a look at Fee's website and have a look... I'm at the dresses section. If you compare the photos with the paddock background to the ones on the wall... I actually prefer the paddock ones because, I mean, the background's a bit more, you might say, distracting. But... I think the colours of the dresses actually stand out more.
Yep.
So, you know, and it kind of, it almost, it, and it kind of works with the brand, you know, Magpies and Mud Puddles, you know, you're talking about
yep.
nature and being outside and stuff. So, you know, you could even play around with that as an option as well. You might even want to play with your angles. So, like, if you got up a little higher and took the photo, you'd only have grass in the background. Or if you got down lower, you would only have trees in the background. Do you understand
okay,
what I mean
yep.
about of like,
yes.
yeah, that sort of thing? So that might
yep.
might make it a little bit more, what's the word? Just the background a little bit more even or together. But even
yeah,
so,
okay.
I mean, I don't think it looks bad with the dual background because you don't have the line right through the middle of the photo, which would be a no-no. I mean, the horizon
yep.
right through the middle of the photo.
So, yeah, okay, yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, have you had other ideas about sort of backgrounds or positions that you could take photos in?
I just, when I took the photos against the weatherboards, it was actually in the shade. I just wonder whether maybe if it was in the sun, whether that would make it stand out more. You've given me an idea when you said about the dresses in the paddock.
Mm.
I could actually probably go to a paddock that doesn't have trees in it, and you would just have the grass, which would be another option as well, which is fine for the dresses. Then I got sort of stuck with my play suits and hats because they need to, I don't have a model to put them on, or I just, they're a bit small for a model. Mm-hmm. I've got a hat stand, but I just, obviously, it's sort of got to be sat on the ground or, yeah, just, it all got a bit hard.
Yeah, I can understand that. And I'm not a fan of mannequins, personally.
Yep.
Maybe that's a personal thing, but I find mannequins creepy. So, you know, when stuff is photographed on a mannequin.
Head lesson, like, put this thing here.
Yeah, so I think your hat, looking at your hat, your stand, that's actually quite nice.
Yep.
It's the, you know, it doesn't detract from the item. It lets it look, you know. And I think that's actually quite a clever photo that you've got with the wood and the grass background again. Again, the colours look a little bit washed out, but I think just with a bit of editing, you could probably pull up the colour a little bit and make it a bit brighter. So I don't think they're bad photos at all, especially... You know, if you're saying, you know, you don't want to do the white background thing, obviously, because it's what everybody else does, and I totally understand and agree with that. And having the, you know, the rustic background thing, I mean, it even matches your colour scheme. So it's, I think it's good. I think it makes your stuff stand out from everybody else's stuff. In the Facebook group, Vanessa just said, looking at your dress photos, I think they would look better if you move them further away from the background, throw the background out of focus and put my emphasis on the dress.
Okay, yeah.
So I guess, pulling it further away from the wall so the wall's a bit more blurry. That's also another idea.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And Megan says, does she have access to photo editing? The photos just need to be colour balanced. There's too much blue and they can be made warmer. So that could be something that could be played around with as well.
At the moment I'm using PicMonkey.
I mean, I use Picasa for most of my editing, even to this day. Google Picasa, which is a free program. It's not complicated. but another one, for those of you listening, or you, if you want to try it, is GIMP, G-I-M-P. Funny name, but it's like a free version of Photoshop, basically. It's open source software. It takes a bit more learning, but it allows you to do a lot of fancy editing if you want to. These guys are saying as well in the group that, sorry, I'm just repeating this for anyone who's listening after the fact who's not in the group, that shade would be better, that full sun, and I was going to say this, so thank you for reminding me, Vanessa, full sun is generally not a good idea because it casts shadows, like harsh shadows, which generally don't look good. The only way you can get around that usually with photographing in full sun is if you actually also have mirrors or lights that, you know, bring light coming in from the side so that you avoid that whole shadow thing. If you're photographing the dresses on a wall with the sun, you would have a real harsh shadow behind it on the wall, and that's something you want to try to avoid. So, you know, overcast are usually best, or having, you know, lights. But I mean, if you're out in a paddock, the chances are you're not going to be able to take a studio light out there with you. So
no.
So we all have to make do with what we can do. But so your hat photos, I think you're on the right track there. Your play suit photos, should have a look at that. Yeah, so you've got them just laid on some sort of background.
They're just on a flat white board that looks like a floorboard.
Yeah, and I mean, that's, again, they're not bad. The colours in those are actually really good. I would even say maybe just leave those. Two points if you do use the same photos. One, if you're going to use that board, edit your photos to make sure that those lines are completely horizontal, because in some of them they're slightly off, and that's
big wonky. Yep.
And two, check the colour balance, because then the background is not the same shade in all of them. So when you've edited them, the white balance or the colour balance has been slightly different because you edit photo by photo. And then when you put them all together, the background kind of looks all different shades, and that sort of, again, kind of takes away because you start noticing that rather than noticing the product.
Yes, okay.
So making the effort. That's why white backgrounds can actually be really hard to do right, because you need to make them the balance exactly the same for all of them, or it kind of ruins it. So
yep, okay.
that's definitely another step to work on there.
Yep.
So that's a few things about photos. Did you have any other questions about the photos?
No, that's really good. And so the other thing too, I suppose, they're three different styles. Mm-hmm. One's against the one's outside with the hats, and then one's against the whiteboard, and then one's against, the house board. So they need to be a bit more uniform as well, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it looks great on your website when you look at them in categories, because obviously all the backgrounds are the same. But when you kind of would, if you pull them out and have a look at them all side by side, mishmashy style, like if you have an Etsy shop or whatever, then it might be a bit more noticeable. But they don't all have to be exactly the same. I mean, as long as they're in theme, like for example, the dress ones and the hat ones, they're thematically the same because they are both outdoor, bush photos.
Yep.
You might even then decide with your play suits to try to do something in that theme as well. And there's no reason why you can't use the white photos you already have as a secondary or third photo. You don't need to completely toss them out if you do that. They can just be an additional photo, just not the main one.
Okay, yep.
And another thing with the play suits and, well, everything really, the hats, play suits, etc., you do have some model shots. Put the model shot for the product in every single listing, even if it's not the same one, just to show people what that style looks like modelled.
Okay, yep,
so
right,
with your hats, take that, even if it's that one photo of the girl with the hat on, put that same photo in every single listing, because some people will only look at one listing, they won't look at all of them. And you can just, you can just put a little line in your description if you want, hat modelled is an example or something like that, just to, like when I do jewellery photos that have a model, usually me, in them, I just say, earrings modelled are not the ones you're getting or whatever, You're getting a fresh pair or a new pair. It's just an example photo. Just so people, I think seeing stuff modelled really helps people to get a clear idea of scale and fit and stuff like that.
Rightio, yep.
Yeah, so that would be, that would be my kind of advice with that, definitely.
Rightio, cool.
Oh, Megan had a really good point here. Would love to see some more images of them being worn by kids and babies. Yep, definitely. A hero image at the top of each collection category would be ideal. That's a really good idea. So a hero image is, the one main image that kind of encapsulates the feeling of something. So, and you have that for your category photo. You have, like, the kids who are modelling the stuff as the category photo. And it would be a nice thing to have at the top of the category, that photo of the kid wearing an item. Again, just something to make dress it up a little bit more.
Okay, so each listing would have that photo in it as well, is that what you're saying?
No,
is that what you mean by your image?
It would be when you click on the category and you go into the category and see all the items, it would be across the top of that category.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm with you now,
just as an example of, this is what it looks like. And it would be, it could be that same photo that's in every listing as well. Yeah, absolutely, that's nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
Cool. Great advice, guys who are listening. Thank you for your wonderful your wonderful input. Please keep it coming. Okay, so photos. Was there anything else on photos?
No, that's great. Thank you.
Cool. All right. So we've done the photos thing. Let's talk about social media and scheduling stuff. How are you going with that? What are your roadblocks with that?
Biggest thing, I suppose, is finding stuff that is relevant. I don't want to be obviously just all sales stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But also I don't want to come across as being someone that I'm not. It's when I write the post, it's sort of be authentic, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So why do you think that you would be inauthentic with what you're writing?
I don't know, I suppose. It's just, I suppose I just get stuck sometimes with what to post, mm-hmm. and then how to write it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sorry, keep going.
Yeah, no, that was it.
That was it, okay. So the thing that always helps me when it comes to this, and it's still something, you think about all the time, is coming from a place of telling a story rather than selling stuff. There's nothing wrong with selling stuff. You're a business. That's what you're there to do. There's nothing wrong with sharing photos of your products. there's nothing wrong with sharing, you know, photos and saying this is now available, stuff like that. The key is just to come from a place of storytelling. Come from a place of people who are following me are following me because they like me or my work. Now, you've got to remember, people who are following you, if you make it clear you're a business, so you're a Facebook page or you're an Instagram feed that's your business name, and in your profile you say, what, you know, this is my business, this is what I do. People who choose to follow you are following you because they're interested in your business. So don't be afraid to tell them about your business. That's why they're there. So, you know, the thing to remember is you're not bothering them. You know, they can choose to not follow you if they don't want to be there. So don't come from the perspective of you're harassing them or you're selling at them or anything like that. Come from the perspective of they like my work, they want to know what I'm up to, they want to know what's happening, and that's what I'm going to tell them. So, you know, I don't know if you listened to Daisy's podcast, the interview I did with her last week.
Her
Instagram and her Facebook are mostly filled with yarn, photos of yarn, because she dyes yarn. And that's what people want to see, because that's what they're interested in, you know. And it's not that she's selling to them when she's selling, you know, she is, but she's not necessarily saying, buy this yarn now. She's just saying, you know, oh, this new colorway I came up with, or even something completely unrelated, like, good morning, here's some bright colors to start your day, or something like that. You know, it's not necessarily a sales pitch every time, but that doesn't mean it can't be a product photo. You know, if you have heaps of products already, so you can use those photos on a regular basis, you know, to put them on Instagram and Facebook, the photos you already have. You don't have to be taking new ones. You can just upload photos you already have. You can use the model shots you have. You can take photos of, heck, when you go, I don't know if you fabric shop online or if you go to a shop, but, you know, take a photo in the fabric shop and say, these are the fabrics I'm thinking about buying. Or when you get them in the mail, take a photo of the fabrics you've bought and go on, here's some stuff I've just bought, can't wait to see what, you know, I'm going to make with it. You know, sort of that sharing products, but also sharing the process and the behind-the-scenes stuff. And just be authentic about it. You know, that's exactly what's happening in your business. You know, you are getting these new, you know, fabrics in, and so you're sharing what's happening, but you're also sharing the behind the scenes of the business and building anticipation as well.
Yep. Okay.
So those are all things you can do. I'm just going to repeat what Megan's put in the group because it's really good. She says, the top 9 posts on your Instagram should show people all the things that you are. People may not scroll further down, so they should always give a sense of what you do. I would list the top 9 things you want people to know about you, your values, your products, your process, and then cycle through those as topics you post about. Brilliant. Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. I usually teach that you should have a couple of niches. So a niche is a topic in this case. So, for example, mine might be works in progress, secret message ring messages, because I make lots of rings with secret messages. Another one might be my studio or my home. Another one would be travel, because I travel a lot and I share that on my Instagram. So those are my, you know, my niches or my topics. And I whenever I need to put a photo up, I think, oh, which one of those comes next, sort of thing, you know, which one haven't I shared? And I will often just pull out an old photo. So it might be a product shot, it might be a photo I've taken previously. Some days when I'm making, because I only make jewelry 2 or 3 days a week, so, you know, when I do, I'll take a couple of photos so that I have stuff banked up for the future, stuff like that. So those are all ways that you can, you know, come up with photos and topics. And having that list of topics can really help you, because then you're not just kind of grasping constantly for a new idea. And it doesn't have to be a new idea. By having those themes in place, that can really help you, definitely. Vanessa said her fallback is a inspirational quote that tells part of your story or shows your style or what inspires you. Yep, inspirational quotes are always a good thing as well. So yeah, does that help?
That's fantastic. I've written a page full of notes.
I was going to say, I'm writing notes there, which is awesome. You can also listen back to the call. See?
Yeah, I will be as well, yeah.
So you know, and the key, obviously, with, you know, the posts, I would say for you right now, if you're using Instagram and Facebook, start with Instagram and post through to the same photo automatically through to your Facebook page, and just do that for starters. Don't try to do two separate lots of stuff, because that's adding a whole nother level of difficulty. Focus on one or the other. Obviously, you can't do it the other way around, unfortunately. You can't post stuff on Facebook and then it goes through to Instagram. So that's why I suggest doing it IG to Facebook. And this, you know, if you want, there are scheduling tools out there. Megan just mentioned that. I don't know of any free ones, but there are paid ones. Or just put it, like, literally in your phone or whatever. If you have an app on there that has an alarm, just set an alarm for the same time every day that goes off and say, post to Instagram. until you get into the habit, if you're not already in the habit, you can do that. So that's what I do when I'm trying to remember to stick to something regularly like that on a daily basis.
Okay, yep.
So did you have any more comments or questions about that whole what to write about or not feeling authentic thing? No?
No, that's great. Someone once told me instead of trying to write to a huge, big audience, you write as if you're just having a one-on-one conversation with someone.
Yes,
which absolutely. I thought was a good tip as well.
Yes, that is a great tip. Yeah, and if you know, for those of you who are really clear on who your ideal customer is, you can. I think I talk about this in the ideal customer workshop in the circle, that you come up with an avatar, which is like a person. You give them a name and imagine what they look like, and then you can talk to that person, and that makes a bit more like talking to a real person rather than some amorphous unknown entity. Which is good, and it makes you be more friendly and personable, because you imagine you're actually talking to a person face to face, and that helps.
Yes, that does help.
Cool. All right, so we've talked about that. So your goal to make 500 in sales, so you said here in let's just quickly jump down to where you see your business in 3 years, making money instead of costing money. That would always be a good thing. becoming your full-time job while your kids are at school, and to become known in the handmade world and keep spreading the importance of sun-safe clothes. I think that's fantastic. I'm a huge vampire, i.e. I like to stay out of the sun as much as possible. Especially here in Australia, it's very, very important. And starting from when we're kids, obviously, and teaching our kids that. So I would definitely draw that element out. You know, if you're using fabrics that are specifically sun-safe, or whatever products you are using, selling that are specifically sun-safe, do make that a part of your story. When you're posting stuff on social media, talk about that. Talk about why it's important. Don't kind of hide it under a bushel. Don't make that an important part of your story, because I think it is very, very important, especially in our country. With the sales, have you worked out kind of how many products you'd have to sell to make that amount of sales? To make that amount of money, I should say.
I have written it down and worked it out, but I can't remember off the top of my
head.
That's okay. Sorry.
As long as you've done it, that's the important thing.
Yes.
Because if you haven't done it, then you don't have a goal or a number. Because then you can break it down week by week and go, okay, how many do I need to sell each month, each week, each day? And that can help kind of keep you motivated. It's almost like it's kind of like gamifying business. For me, it's funny. Nick and a lot of my friends are gamers. You know, they love board games, computer games, whatever. But I'm just like, my business is my game. You know, it's a game that has real world benefits. And that's almost how I look at it a lot of the time. Like it's a challenge. It's fun. But if I manage to achieve my goals and level up, I actually make money. So that's a benefit as well. So you know,
that's a fantastic way of looking at it.
Treat it like a game. Have fun with it. You know, be serious. I mean, a lot of people are really serious about their gaming. But it's gaming in a real-world context. So, have those goals. Stick them on the wall. And, like, when you achieve them, do some sort of thing to celebrate and just make a big deal of it. That will just help keep you motivated, you know, and help keep you doing that marketing and writing those emails or, you know, doing that blogging or whatever it is to make sure you achieve that particular goal for that week or month or whatever. And that will definitely help you keep going. Okay, so now one last thing you mentioned before we finish up is email newsletters. So you've got a list, email list.
Yes.
And you want to write newsletters at least fortnightly. I think that's
good. Yes, and to just build up, I think I've got 14 on my list, mm-hmm. so I need to build my list and then keep writing newsletters.
Yes. There's obviously, you know, we've talked a lot in the circle. There's that. I'm not sure if you did the workshop last year about getting started with a mailing list, but there's some ideas in there for, you know, topics and things like that, and ways to actually ways to actually find new subscribers. You can you can also use things like Facebook ads to drive subscribers to your mailing list if you're willing to spend a bit of money on it. Getting into, again, it's about having a habit. Having something to talk about monthly is always nice. Like last year I was doing a monthly giveaway on my Ethereal list. This year I'm doing a monthly special. So I very, very, very rarely do sales on my jewellery because it's all made to order. So doing sales really doesn't make any sense. It's not like I've got stock I'm trying to move. But I decided to experiment for, and I've done subscriber specials in the past, but I decided to experiment this year with doing a subscriber special every month for 2016. And that means that one category or one particular product is on sale, or say I might do free shipping over $50, or like there's lots of different options, but only the people on my subscriber list get it. Like it's not something I talk about anywhere else except to drive traffic to my mailing list. So for example, say next month, I'm doing this subscriber special. This is what I might put on social media or on my blog. Next month I'm doing this particular special, but you have to be a subscriber to my Silver Service mailing list in order to get access to it. So that's a way to drive people signing up to your newsletter and something that you're rewarding them with for being there.
Yep, okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so having something like a monthly something like that, like a monthly special or a monthly giveaway or something that kind of encourages people to stick around and keeps them opening your emails is a win-win situation, really.
Very good.
And it gives you something to talk about. Like for everybody, you know, we all struggle with, what am I going to write about in my email? Well, if you have something like that, there's one topic every month you've got sorted for one email.
Okay.
Is the email about the giveaway or the email about the special or whatever. So yeah, that's a no-brainer thing as well, which makes it easier and, you know, reducing our mental load of decisions we have to make makes life a lot easier, definitely.
It does, yes.
Cool. All right, did you have any other questions or things you wanted to chat about quickly?
No, you've given me so many ideas and helpful things. Thank you. And thank you to everyone in the Facebook group with all your messages as well. They've been fantastic.
Yeah, there's some great stuff in there. Thank you, everybody, for listening to that. And thank you, Fiona, for being here with me on the call. I hope you enjoyed it and I hope it helps you. Let us know in the circle, and when you get your new photos, make sure to share them with us.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks. Good night.
Bye.
Awesome. That was a great call. Some really great topics there. Thanks to you guys in the Facebook group. Such great insight and comments and stuff there as well. Do any of you listening have any questions for me? Please do write them in the Facebook group now, or any future comments as well. I'm just going to quickly scroll through while you're thinking about that and see if there's any other comments I just wanted to record into the call. Let's have a look. I think we've mentioned that. Rebecca made a really good point here. Being outdoors complements the idea of the clothing being for sun protection. Did not think of that angle, but you're absolutely right. That is a really, really good point, actually. Actually, the whole sun thing, like I was saying, you know, don't take photos in direct sunlight. Maybe the hat photos, you could even take one in direct sunlight just to show how effective it is, to show that it actually shades things. So that's a nice one. Megan has also shared a link, 75 email content topics you can use. Awesome. We'll put that in the call notes, in the posts that we put up with the call in the next few days' time. So that's a really, really good one. Thanks so much for sharing that. Yeah, I agree, Megan's just point posted, apologies if I'm pronouncing your name wrong. I don't ever, never know if it's Megan or Megan until someone tells me, that she said, I really think the sun protection thing is a big point of difference to her. And I really agree with that. Oh, and she said, I'd really love to read more about that in her emails. Yeah, I mean, educate people. That's, you know, another thing you can do is help people learn about these things, right? So that's definitely part of your story that you can take and talk about. And we were talking about scheduling, Buffer. I love Buffer. That's a great one. There's a free version of Latergram, apparently. So that's another one to check out. And Crowdfire. I haven't heard of that one before. I'll have to check that out. If you use Instagram and you've never come across IconoSquare before, do check that out. It's a web-based one where you can look at all your Instagram stats. Like, it finds them for you and shows them to you, which is really awesome. So that's another cool app that you can check out as well. We've got a question here from... It's Megan. Thank you. See, I would say Megan because that's how we say it in Australia, but a lot of Americans and others and UK people say Megan, so I'm always confused with that one. It's like Tara and Tara. I have a friend who's Tara because she's Canadian. That's how they say it. Well, that's how she says it. Okay, so... Oh, Vanessa, you're welcome. Vanessa just said, thank you for the epiphany about treating sales like a game. If I treated getting a sale like competing a two-dots level, I'd be so much further ahead. It's true, though. It's good fun. Like, you know, just... That is honestly how I see it, you know. It's, and by saying it's a game, I don't mean don't take it seriously or don't, you know... don't be authentic about it. Like, just because I say that, it's not like I'm being flippant about it. I take my business very seriously, but at the same time, have fun with it. That's kind of the point. So yeah, it's a good one. It's a good analogy. I like to use it. Rebecca has a question for me about the three priorities from today. Ah, okay. So this is from the Handmade Business Bootcamp. When you break down your big three, you can have more than three steps. Yes, you absolutely can. Yes, 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 yes. Sorry if I didn't make that clear. So with each of your priorities, those steps underneath, you can have more. You can have heaps. It's just a case of trying to think about things in terms of levels. So if you've got a really high level, like so your yearly priority, your steps to achieve that are not going to be the task level, they're not going to be like, you know, write this email that I need to send to this person. They're going to be sort of the next level down, still big steps, but you can definitely have more than three of them. Yes, for sure, for sure. Cool. All right. I think we've talked about everything. I've mentioned everything people have mentioned. Woo! Nice work, team. Thank you so much for those of you who've come live with us. It's always more fun when people come and join us live and have your say. It's really, really great to have you here. Thank you again, Fiona, for being on the call. I think we covered a lot of great things in that one tonight. And for those of you listening later, if you have any comments just that you want to add, just go to the Facebook group and search for January Call 2016 in inverted commas, and you'll find the thread that this one is... The thread that goes with this call, which I've just made sure that will happen by putting the 2016 on there. Okay, thank you so much, guys, for listening. If you want to listen back to the recording, we'll have it up. I'll have it up by Thursday. Tomorrow's my day off, so I might not get it done by tomorrow, but I'll have it up on the blog ready for you to listen back to by Thursday at the latest. I'll try to get it done tonight if I can. So thanks for listening, and I will chat to you all again in the circle and invoice next week. Bye for now.